There's only one Mayweather. There's only one Mayweather. He talks the talk and he walks the walk. Walking to the money land.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Scott Cuddy, he plays that Mayweather piece, and he looks at me through the window, and he sort of just chuckles because, you know, Mayweather can't sing. And the bottom line is, at this point in time, you shouldn't be boxing anymore. 38, make it almost 39 years old. Come on, man. Call it a day. 49-0. You've done your thing. Step off into the sunset, especially after pissing all over the boxing community in 2015 by coming up with those two great fights against Manny Pacquiao. And, of course, the culminator, the coup de grace, as far as the public was concerned, as far as slashing their throat, I'm talking about financially, was the Andre Berto fight. Straight up, you ripped him off twice. Twice is enough. Rip me off a third time, shame on me. Straight up on the line from New York City, one of the Big Apple's best folks. They call him boxing's philosopher. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How you been?
And how's Daddy of the Year?
You know, it's hard work, but, you know, maintaining.
And somebody's got to do it, right?
That's it.
All right, loving it as you do it. Talk. You know anything about Luis Ortiz, 24-0? No, I mean, he looks like a monster. They call him King Kong. He's considered the WBA heavyweight title holder now, 24-0, 21 wax. What he did to Brian Jennings last time was sort of like, yikes. I mean, it's sort of scary.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely impressive, you know, stopping Jennings, something that Klitschko couldn't do. He's got the size. You know, I just don't know if Tony Thompson is going to really show us anything more. You know, I think it's a joke that that guy's on HBO after taking that dive against Klitschko a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember.
HBO doesn't care. If you haven't figured this out by now, HBO, Showtime, the boxing establishment, promoters, all these people, they don't give a you-know-what about tomorrow. They don't care about next week. They don't care about 3 years from now. Unlike the world of mixed martial arts, I got to give Dana White some props. He's been investing money in youth and things like that around the planet, starting different USC organizations in different countries. And the WBO, my sponsor, the World Boxing Organization, WBOboxing.com, they've had various boxing clinics all around the planet. But the bottom line is, I don't know, Luis Ortiz, 24-0, got them steroid issues. Isn't there a steroid hangover on him?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like...
And he's 36 years old.
Supposedly. I mean, but who knows? He might be close to the... You know, he might be 40, but we know.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm gonna go off on the Cuban age thing, okay? Having trained with some Cuban fighters, Dio Belis Hurtado, who was a top-ranked 140-pounder back in the day, was working with him and Harold Smith down in Miami Beach and South Beach. He's one of those guys where I'd show up to his... to run with him at 5 o'clock in the morning. I spell booze all over him, and his trainer told me, he only has one drink in the morning. Yeah, that's enough. Anyway, Cuban fighters, Joel Casamayor, some of these guys, I think they've all lied about their age. I think they've lied incredibly about their age. I mean, some of these guys, I thought that Casamayor was 4 or 5 years older than he said he was. Of course, we talk about the 1992 Olympic gold medals out of Cuba. Of course, relocating in Miami, Florida with Luis de Cubas and guys like that. But I was always of the opinion that the Cuban guys always lied about their age. So are you implying that with King Kong here?
I'm not implying it, but I wouldn't be surprised if another birth certificate came out, you know, a couple of years down the road. But, I mean, is there a difference really between 36 and, let's say, 38, 39? I don't know. I guess it's just the shape you keep yourself in, the condition. I mean, bottom line, I'm not going to feel better about Ortiz if he beats Thompson, you know, as we expect. Like, I think it's like a sideways move, you know. I don't think it does anything for me.
But if you took Thompson out in like one clip, that would be somewhat impressive, wouldn't it? It just went out there and said, bang, over.
Yeah, it would.
If it goes rounds, because Tony Thompson isn't the most exciting fighter in the world to begin with. And
older than Ortiz. He's 40.
He's older than Ortiz. He's like 40. I think he's 41, something like that. I mean, he's 41. And of course, he's had his moments in the sun. He's made a lot of money, and he's tall, he's big, he's over 6 foot, 6 foot four, 6 foot five. So he's made some money, but you know, he's sort of a illustration of what the heavyweight division has been for the past decade. Sort of a lot of also-rans. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Absolutely. He's it's a shame. You know, the guy has so much physical tools. You know, you figure like he's supposed to be able to show some heart against Klitschko. But I don't know. I just can't get that Klitschko fight out of my head. You know, when he got dropped and it looked like he rested his head so that way concuss him or something. It was just bizarre. I have no.
Socrates Palmer is on the line, of course, we're talking boxing. Of course, in heavyweights, right now we've got Tyson Fury, the heavyweight, recognized world heavyweight champion, WBO and Ring Magazine heavyweight title. I think he's got another belt as well. Were you surprised they stripped him of the IBF belt like in a week? I mean, within a week, they stripped him of the IBF belt. But what was that all about? Do you know? Is that just the New Jersey politics?
Time out.
Was Chris Christie involved?
Speaking of heavyweights, yeah.
You know, maybe shut down the bridge again. Shut down the lanes leading to the bridge.
Oh man, that guy's a clown.
But you do realize that finally led to his downfall when these people testify against him in court in the coming weeks, and those trials come up with that wine guy and the chick. They're gonna hang him anyway. Enough politics. Also on the card, Jesse Ortiz, 26-1. Last time we saw him, he was involved in a controversy ending with Tim Bradley. He's against Saddam Ali, who's 22-0.
That's the fight I'm waiting for. I'm glad that you brought that up. Saddam Ali, Brooklyn kid from New York, really well managed, you know, and brought along good. But the guy's the goods, you know.
Who's got him?
The goods. He beat Terrence Crawford in the Olympic trials. A lot of people may not know that. He is the real deal. I think he's going to beat Vargas, who's pretty good himself. And I think that's a sleeper as far as, like, the faces going forward and, you know, the quote-unquote faces of the game in boxing. Saddam Ali, people are sleeping on him, and I think he's as good as his contemporaries, which, I mean, Crawford, Danny Garcia. Watch. Saddam Ali, and I think he's going to win easy tonight.
Who's the 126-pounder I can't think of right now that was out of Haiti? He was looking real good there, and then he couldn't make weight and things like that. He had those issues. I should go to the ratings in just a second. I will. Let's go further on tonight.
Jamaican? Are you talking about Walters?
Yeah. Man, what a disappointment he was. I really thought he could speak Spanish. He could speak English. He could speak another language. I really thought he was going to be a good crossover guy. He was like a Camacho type of guy as far as the front of the mic's concerned. And then, bam, he sort of just fizzled.
It happens. Sometimes these guys can't handle a little bit of success. It goes to their head and, you know, they forget, you know, about the grinding that it took for them to even get to where they, you know, to where they are, and then it's like complacency, I guess, hits.
Okay, Saul, before we go back to tonight, let's talk about Saul Alvarez and Canelo Alvarez and Amir Khan. Is that a smart fight for both guys? You look at it from this point of view, Alvarez has a huge size advantage over Amir Khan. He's probably going to try to utilize that body mass size. I'm talking about an advantage. But Amir Khan's a better boxer, and, of course, we've seen him get outboxed. I'm talking about by Mayweather. What happens there?
It's a fight that has a lot of, you know, name appeal. You know, you figure it should do well pay-per-view-wise, Canelo. And Amir Khan, I think, is an excellent fighter. You know, if he had a better chin, he'd probably be undefeated. But really, I mean, he's like a chubby welterweight. Now he's going up two weight classes, basically, to fight Canelo. It's like Canelo wouldn't do that to fight Kovalev, would he? You know, it's like, I don't know, it's like just cherry picking, and, you know, I think it stinks. You know, the middleweight champion of the world fighting a blown up junior welter, I think it's not a fair fight. But, you know, I'll be rooting for Khan, and credit to Khan. You know, it seems like he may be wanting to get out of boxing. You know, he's looking for the big payday. Against Pacquiao, it didn't happen. He was calling out Floyd, it didn't happen. So it's like he took, you know, the best available, you know, and he'll get paid well. And will he win? Probably not. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard.
And the guy waiting in the wings, of course, is Triple G. Was he 34-0, 31 wax? He's a monster. I mean,
that's the fight. That's the fight. Canelo's being a, you know.
Yeah, I know the word you're going to use there.
You know, but that's the fight. That's the fight. I mean, and it's a shame. You know, this is the time for him to shine and take over as being the face of the sport, and he's fighting Amir Khan. I mean, I don't know.
But the reason why he's fighting Amir Khan is that he's going to try to make it one more fight before he has to fight Golovkin. I think the WBC or a couple of these sanctioning bodies are stepping in and saying, look, either fight the guy or we're going to strip you. Okay, and, you know, a lot of people want those WBC titles. I was looking at the Al Haymon crew today, and I think Gary Russell's got an optional coming up on April the 16th, I think, against a guy named Tyler or something like Highland, Patrick Highland out of Ireland. And there's a bout going tonight for the vacant WBO interim title. So Gary Russell, it looks like Al Haymon's fought his way into the WBC. You surprised?
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, and not because they're a sponsor, but I think the WBO might be. I think they're the best sanctioned bodies. I mean, all these, you know, interims and super and regular champions. That the WBA is full of beans. And the BC is no better, you know.
But the WBO has transparency. You know, when I go to these meetings and I go to these conventions, sit there and I sit there and I listen to these guys and they're talking. They're not doing this in back rooms. You hear what I'm saying? They're working out these ratings right there in the room, and everybody's screaming back and forth. You got the number four guy screaming, he should be number three. I mean, this is sort of cool. They're going back and forth, vying for ratings and this and that. But that's the way it's done. It's done out there. It's out in the open. It's transparent.
Right, no shadiness, like in that documentary with the IBF back a few years back.
You know, you shouldn't get on the IBF that bad, because I went to Bob Lee, I think it was like 1990, anyway, in the 1990s, and I said to him, listen, they've got films of you taking money from Doug Beavers on videotape. They were filming you in those hotel rooms you guys were meeting at, and you were getting that money. He took about three nitroglycerin pills right then and there. He like almost had a heart attack on the stage. Anyway, that's the story for another day. Tonight, Julian Williams, star in the making out of Philadelphia, PA, 21-0. Got a draw on that record, taking on Marcelo Matano, 16-1. This is a fight for Julian to shine in, isn't it?
Yeah. He's the guy that seems that he's, whatever he gets, he earns, because he's too good. He's good, therefore he's avoidable. You know, he's very avoidable. He's a guy that is probably too good for his own good, so to speak. He won't be able to attract maybe the big payday, and you know, until he's well into his career. So I hope he wins. Is he still trained by the Breadman?
He is, Stephen Breadman Edwards.
Yeah. So you know, I'll be rooting for him, and I like him. He's pretty solid. You know, I don't think he's an A. I think he's like a solid B at everything. You know, he comes to fight and he gives a good effort. You know, I think he should win tonight.
And he's young and he should improve.
Yes. And he's got a big frame. He could probably go up another two weight classes. You know, he seems like he could definitely handle 60. You know.
Straight up, ladies and gentlemen, the great Socrates Palmer. We welcome him back, the philosopher, each and every time he wants to come on the show. You just give me a call and you can be on, okay?
I appreciate it, Pedro. Thank you so much. All the best.